Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, the Evangelical Christian Humanitarian Organization World Relief is trying to bring some 75 refugees to the Chippewa Valley next year, but they're getting some pushback. We'll also hear from two members of the anti-human trafficking group Rescued and Redeemed about their November 4th fundraiser and awareness event being held in the area. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. This past Monday at the library in Eau Claire, the Christian nonprofit World Relief held a meeting asking, "Who is my neighbor?" It related to their plans to open an Eau Claire office and approval from federal agencies for them to bring 75 refugees to the Chippewa Valley over the next year or so. However, there's been some pushback, most notably from the area Republican Party. As the Eau Claire County Republican Party held a meeting recently, the previous Thursday, drawing more than 100 people to hear Ron Brantzner, a speaker with the Federation of American Immigration Reform, give an hour-long presentation on refugee resettlement and illegal immigration. Some 40 protesters were gathered outside the library before World Relief's Monday informational meeting. I spoke with Eau Claire County Board Chair Scott Bolstad about their concerns.
I found out about this about 2.5 weeks ago watching WQOW. They said that a refugee office is going to be opening here. And I remember what happened in Hudson in 2017. They tried to bring some Syrians into Hudson, and the people rose up and they ended up not coming. But unfortunately, they're further along in the process here than they were in Hudson. What I learned was that the city has been working on this since March of 2023. And I mean, this is 6 months later. And I guarantee you, most of the rank and file citizens of this city do not know this is happening. And this is, you know, this is something they're going to introduce 75 every year, not to talk about, you know, like family members that come in also, but I mean, this changes the very fabric of the entire city. I mean, you would think the citizens would want to have a say in that. And none of our elected officials had a say in this. Maybe they didn't want to have a say in it, but they left it to the city manager to approve, and she signed off on it. And when I talked to the city council president today, I'm like, why don't you just pass a resolution endorsing this? And at least we can say, hey, at least our elected officials, you know, signed off on this, and they don't seem to want to do that either. It's like they don't want anything to do with it. The way I understand it, after 90 days, World Relief backs out, and all the support they're giving the refugees now passes over to the city of Eau Claire and the county of Eau Claire. And the county knows absolutely nothing about this. Meanwhile, World Relief moves on to the next group of refugees to bring them here. And so they are going to be using our services. You know, an interpreter costs $75 an hour. We're going to be paying more taxes. That's why we keep saying this is taxation without representation, because none of our elected representatives voted for this or approved it. And that's why we're out here. It's not really the refugees. It's the process they failed to follow.
Also, before World Relief's Monday informational meeting at the library in Eau Claire, I asked World Relief's Vice President of Advocacy and Policy, Matthew Sorens, what preceded their being this close to bringing 75 refugees to Eau Claire sometime in the next year.
Yeah, so World Relief started this process of exploring a potential new resettlement location to propose to the federal government. To be really clear, we don't decide where refugees get resettled. That's a decision that Congress in the Refugee Act of 1980 has given to the federal government. The federal government is supposed to consult with local and state governments, which and from what we've observed, they have. And we've helped to facilitate that. We were part of meetings back in April with various local leaders. We've also been in close touch with the state refugee coordinator down in Madison as well, who also maybe doesn't legally need to consent to the process, but usually the state department is going to take very seriously the recommendation of the state refugee coordinator. So we've had a number of meetings going back many, many months, and we've got several city council people here this evening who are excited about World Relief opening in the community. But it's also, I think, important to know that the legal requirement is actually on the federal government. So it's not World Relief's decision. It's actually not the state or the local government's decision either. The courts have decided for a long time that this has to be a federal decision, consulting with local and state governments, but it's a decision that the federal government ultimately makes.
Sorens says,
you know, for us at World Relief, this is fundamentally, it's about loving our neighbors as ourselves. And when Jesus commanded his disciples to love their neighbors, and he was asked, well, who is my neighbor? His example was someone who cared for a vulnerable stranger, traveler of a different ethnicity, even a different religion, who was in need, in the Good Samaritan story. And, you know, we take that really seriously. This is the command that Jesus gives us, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We see welcoming refugees who, of course, should be and are very thoroughly vetted before they arrive in the United States as an opportunity to live out our Christian faith. And we also see it as an opportunity to make disciples of all nations. There's people who come in who share our Christian faith, who are persecuted in some cases for their faith in Jesus, and there's others who don't yet know Jesus. We don't trick them into following Jesus or serve them in any different way if they're non-Christians or Christians, but we do believe in evangelism rightly understood, which is an open invitation to a relationship with Jesus. And we're blessed to be able to do that in this context of religious freedom, where we're free to share our faith and people are free to receive that or to reject it. And that, I feel like, is an incredible opportunity for the church in the Chippewa Valley.
And on Friday, WQOW-TV was reporting that Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany had sent a letter to Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge questioning plans for refugees to come to the city. In the story, WQOW cited Eau Claire City Attorney Steve Nick as telling them that refugee resettlement is a federal responsibility and that the city is fully cooperating under applicable federal law. Tiffany, though, raising concerns in his letter about where the refugees could potentially come from, specifically citing unstable countries like Somalia and Syria, saying, quote, "I raise these concerns because the Biden administration's lax approach to screening incoming foreigners is well known. However, though some are speculating that the refugees are coming from Somalia, World Relief has not said where the refugees are coming from, but that representatives with the organization have said many in Wisconsin have come from the Democratic Republic of the Congo or Myanmar." Stay tuned. We'll continue to cover this story as it progresses. Meanwhile, the anti-human trafficking group Rescued and Redeemed is holding their fourth annual fundraiser and awareness event for a long-term residential program for survivors on November 4th from 1 to 4 in the afternoon at 29 Pines Sleep-In Conference Center. Earlier this week, I spoke with Elaine Geisler and Sally Blues from the organization and began by asking them about a post at their website that says they offer a Christ-centered approach to restoring lives impacted by sex trafficking.
So, yeah, our website says restoring people. So what that means to us is a lot of times the victims, if you will, will come to us, and we offer trauma-informed therapy to them. And it's a specialized kind of therapy that is very rare. And so we have partnered with Sela Freedom out of Florida, who has helped us with this person that is helping with those services. So his name is Dr. Quintel in Florida. And so that's one of the things that we're able to provide for these survivors. And I'll go ahead,
Sally. Yeah, and so along the lines of just being able to incorporate Jesus and the how the gospel relates to what we do is, you know, we know that many of these individuals have never been raised in a Christian home. They don't know Jesus. They don't know him as a personal savior. And the thing about it is, it's what's unfortunate is some of these women have been abused in the church. And so when they hear running this from a biblical perspective, you know, we know that we're taking the chance of people running the other way. But we already know, Mark, that we cannot say enough how Jesus is our guide and Jesus is our hope into this dark world. And so we just, our mission is to introduce them to the Lord. And we know that we're not going to push our beliefs on anyone. We're not going to expect them to do Bible studies. It's not that approach. It's, we want to just, we're running our programming from the guidance that we're getting from the Lord and from a biblical perspective, if you will. And so we definitely want to introduce them to him. And it's just very important that we can't say, if you read enough self-help books or you can do this, you're strong enough, you've got the ability to be strong and get yourself out of this and advocate for yourself, because we all fail ourselves every single day. Jesus is the only one that doesn't fail us. And so we want to just try to clearly explain that who Jesus is and what he did and his power. And so that he's our hope and he's the one that we would love for them to just understand his character and how he is the one that brings the healing to what they're going through. And so it's a process, and everybody is on their own path. Everyone is on their own journey with their faith, and everyone is in different places. And so we just want to meet people where they're at. Another thing I want to mention is, you know, Rescued and Redeemed, we have our arms open wide for whoever comes to us. I mean, it can be any religion, any belief system. You know, if you're having an identity crisis, or, you know, the LGBT, you know, community, I mean, we want to serve everyone. Jesus served everyone. He never turned his back on anyone. And so, but within our organization, we will only have volunteers and staff that are true followers of Christ, because we all have the same, you know, we all are bringing what we are teaching and what we're pouring into these individuals from the same mindset. You know, that is, you know, that is so important to us, that we come from the same, you know, paradigm and the belief system. So we just want to introduce, you know, Jesus to the people that God brings us, you know, and it's just so important, you know, and we are finding that. We are serving local survivors right now. And, you know, many of them have a personal relationship with Jesus. Praise the Lord. But there is, you know, a couple that we are serving, and we just, you know, lace our conversations with, you know, the Lord did this and the Lord did that, and they're very receiving of it. And if we can just bring the gospel to these women, you know, that's the most important thing, is to get them safe and get them, you know, to understand who Jesus is. And, you know, he's fighting these battles for us. We just have to be still and let him be God.
I asked Rescued and Redeemed's Sally Blues to tell us more about the upcoming fundraiser this Saturday, November 4th at the 29 Pine Sleep In and Conference Center.
So this is our fourth annual, and we are going to be at the second year out at 29 Pines. It's from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and we're going to have a speaker present from doing this for, gosh, probably 12 years now, that they're kind of our mentorship organization, if you will, and we got connected with them back in 18. They are actually out of Florida, and they have such an incredible program with a residential program and home. And so they connected with us, and so we just have had such an incredible relationship with them. And so she's actually the co-founder of this other organization. And so she actually speaks from a place of expertise, if you will. It's just a program that has really helped the survivors, and so they are helping us along with our home. And so she's going to be speaking on that, and why a residential program is so important. And then we have Brian Cole, Pastor Brian Cole, that's going to be coming out and sharing the gospel, sharing how pornography is such a segue into a lot of this trafficking, and just the problem at hand more than anything, and how he had his hand in some of that from the other perspective, and what it does to a person, and how easily it is to slip into that. We're going to have ministry tables that come out, set up, and then we also going to have two survivors that are actually going to share their story and how Rescued and Redeemed was there for them and helped them through that trauma that they had held on to for so many years. And their stories are going to be very impactful. And then, as last but not least, we are going to have this huge silent auction that is probably the biggest moneymaker for us. And that's the whole reason one of the main reasons we're putting this on is to raise those funds for people to help us financially get this home that we so desperately need. And that auction, we've had over 150 businesses donate goods and services, and I think we counted about 175 baskets and gift cards that we're going to have people be able to bid on. And that auction is actually from 1 to 3 o'clock. So if people are coming out, planning to come out to bid, then they will want to get there early. It shuts down at 3 o'clock. But the program actually it just kind of runs. Someone asked me the other day if it's a come and go. Well, it can be, but you might miss some of the good speakers that we're going to have. And so I would just suggest to just mark out for those 3 hours, because it's going to be packed tight with great information. And so we're going to have a few raffle items that we're going to have. And it's just going to be a great time. Last year we had roughly 400 to 450 people, and we made $23,000 last year. And it was a big jump from the year before. So
that's great.
We're excited. We hope people will come out. And if you want to go to our website, there's more information there at rescuedandredeemed.org.
Again, that's Sally Blues with the organization Rescued and Redeemed. Their fourth annual fundraiser and awareness event for a long-term residential program for human trafficking survivors going on this Saturday, November 4th, from 1 to 4 at the 29 Pine Sleep-In Conference Center. Learn more at rescuedandredeemed.org. That's rescuedandredeemed.org. Earlier on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we heard from Scott Bolstad, the Eau Claire County Board, the Eau Claire County Republican Party Chair, and Matt Sorens, the Vice President of Advocacy and Policy with World Relief, dealing with the issue of refugee resettlement in the Chippewa Valley. Some 75 refugees being talked about being brought to the Chippewa Valley sometime in the next year. That does it for Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Halverson on WWIB and WOGO.